there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I wonder how many of you, I've had this experience a number of times over the course of my life. I've had a dream so realistic and so terrifying, or maybe, you know, where I've been involved in doing something in this dream that is just is disturbing, and then I wake up and it takes you a while to figure out, and finally you say, whew, I'm glad that that was not real. I'm glad that that didn't really happen. And so, you know, the things that are not real, like movies and stories and things, I mean, they have the ability to entertain us. They have the ability to inspire us, to influence us, to amuse us, to make us laugh. But a story that's not real, I mean, you can take it or leave it. You can see it or not see it. You know, this weekend, probably some of you went and saw the new Star Wars movie, which I hope to do soon. And some of you probably did that, and it's been a huge, exciting event. But, I mean, if you don't ever see a Star Wars movie, that's going to be okay. I mean, I, you know, a lot of people would say you don't want to miss that, but it's your life will go on as normal. It'll be okay because it's not real. But this story is eternally tragic if you miss it. But for you to see that and for it to help you, you got to know that it's real. I mean, this was the scripture doesn't tell this as something other than this is actual history, something that really took place. It happened on an ordinary night to an ordinary group of guys doing an ordinary job in that culture. But so there's this scene there where these angels, beginning with one angel, surprises them and the experience terrifies them. I think for you and I to get maybe some sense of what that would have been like, some of you have been in concerts and in huge arenas and in huge venues where if they went in this light effect where they went from complete darkness to total light, you know, for just this every light in the house, this, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of lights aimed at the stage. And if you've ever seen anything like that, I mean, it's stunningly dramatic to go from total darkness to this complete light. And when it describes the glory of the Lord shining around them, I think that's something that, of the kind of sense that we would have. And it says, then the shepherds were filled with great fear. They were overwhelmed with what they saw in this moment. But you know, if this event didn't happen, if it's not real, then it really doesn't matter. It might be an inspiring story, interesting, curious to some history buffs. But if it didn't happen, I mean, you could safely just ignore it and go on about your life. But if it did happen, if it's real, then we've got to pay attention to it. And what happened here certainly got their attention. I heard a story just a couple of weeks ago. Edward and his wife Lisa are here. I said I wasn't going to introduce them. We're working with them. They're starting a new church plant, probably meeting in our building for a deaf church. I heard a story this week, just a couple of weeks ago, Edward, about a guy who was deaf, but he had gone deaf through a surgery. Something had happened to him, and so he was able to stay in his job, but he had been kind of lobbying the people at his workplace they needed it to get in these visual alarms because he couldn't hear fire alarms anymore. And in fact, a fire alarm went off in their building, and it turned out to be a false alarm, but everybody filed out except for this guy. And they go back in and they see him just happily working along at his desk because he missed the alarm. Because he couldn't hear it. And so they, you know, it kind of got their attention that, you know, we're gonna have to do something about that. He could not hear the alarm. This surprise that these shepherds got is something that we cannot afford to be deaf to. We cannot afford to miss this. And so if we miss this good news, it's tragic. We got to see it as actual history. So first of all, you got to see it as that. But secondly, we're going to need to answer the question, how does good news actually deal with our fear? How does that work? We have to see it as real. But secondly, let's look at the next part of the text, beginning in verse 10. It says, "And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So the angel says to them, I don't want you to be afraid. But of course they were terrified at what they had seen. It shocked them. It surprised them. It was nothing that they were expecting. But the angel has a reassuring message. But this aspect that they first have to be, they're stunned by the glory of God. Maybe they didn't know what it was at first. But that sense of knowing the glory of God is important to them. What I want you to see here, moving on, I'm leaving out some stuff in my mind here. The important thing for you and I to see, looking at verse 11, is this. The text says, "For unto you is born this day." And that word "you" is very emphatic. It's very important for us to see that, because he was saying to them, it's important for you to understand that this is you. I don't know if you ever deal with this, but sometimes it's hard for me to believe. And we see all kinds of things that happen in the world. We're so focused on a celebrity culture that it seems like that big things, really important things, don't ever happen to us. And part of the message of Christmas to us is this, that this message, this announcement, came to ordinary people, or as I said earlier, ordinary guys doing an ordinary job on an ordinary night, and God sovereignly chose to bring that message to them in that way. And then he very clearly said to them, this message has come to you. And for us to hear the good news that the angel is talking about here, for us to hear this good news in a way that it helps to address our fear, we have to see it and experience and understanding that it's a message to you personally. And it's not... It's something that matters to you. You have to hear it as a word from God for you. And he came in such a way so that all of us could relate to it. You know, if you were counting and paying attention, if you were reading through Luke chapter 2, he mentions the fact that the baby is in a manger three different times over the course of this. You know, when he gave the instructions to the shepherds to say, "I want you to go to Bethlehem," and he said, "I'm going to give you a specific sign. I'm going to give you something very concrete to look for." And it was not that he said to them, you know, "You're going to go and you're going to have this spiritual experience. You're going to go and you're going to see this thing, and you're going to have warm feelings, and you're going to have a sense of peace." And he gave them real specific evidence. He said, "You're going to go and you're going to see a baby," and that was normal. But he said, "You're going to find this baby in a manger." In a feed trough. And that was not normal. That would be something that would be out of the ordinary, so that when they went to see this, they would either know that they had seen what they had been told, or they would not see it. They wouldn't be wondering whether this was real or not. And you may think about this being obsessed with celebrity. This past Monday evening, I watched the finale of The Voice. I don't know how many of you saw that, but that guy that won is actually from where I'm from. I mean, not just southeastern Kentucky, but he's actually from Harlan County, which is the part of the country that I am from. And honestly, I don't know anybody famous from where I'm from. I mean, it's just the middle of nowhere. And I don't know anybody who's kind of grown up from there to become a professional athlete or an actor. It's just sort of an out-of-the-way place, and it's just a reminder of how much, you know, right after The Voice was over, there was this concert with the British artist Adele, if that's how you say that name. I'd always kind of wondered, what was the big deal about her? I don't know how I had missed that, but I watched a little bit of the first of that concert, and I get it now. I mean, I saw a little bit of that, and that was pretty cool. But just to think of this reminder of this kid, Jordan Smith, from my hometown, and something big happened to him. But you know, the news that he got that night that he had won and that he's going to be able to create a recording and he's well known, that was great news for him. But the news that came to the shepherds that night, and that's news for you and I as well, is better news than all of that. But we've got to hear it for ourselves as something that God coming to us as a Savior to deal with our fear. To deal with our fear of guilt, our fear of death. You know, there's a lot of people who would say that the guilt that we feel, the guilt that we wrestle with is, you know, that's just something that people who do what I do are trying to put that on you so that they can control you, so that they can influence you. But you know what, when we're really honest about what's going on, we know that there's something not right with us. We know that there's something messed up between us and God, and that gets projected into all sorts of other things about our needing to, you know, we fear failure, we fear being alone, we fear not being useful. And this good news for us of a Savior who is Christ the Lord is the best news we've ever heard that deals with our fear so that it can actually help us with that. And so, just the last thing I want to share with you is how can you know that you get Christmas? How can you know that you get Christmas? Looking at the last part of this text, beginning in verse 15, it says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them." And so there's some early reaction to the birth of Jesus. And we could compare their reactions that we see in this text to ours. And first of all, I want you to see that they actually took it seriously. All this that happened to them after they heard this incredible announcement that stunned them and terrified them, they didn't ignore it. They obviously weren't bored by it. They took it seriously and said, "Let's go see this. Let's check this out. Let's see if there's something important to this." Secondly, they had a sense of passion about it. It says that they went with haste. They knew that this was something critical. They didn't wait around. They said, "You know, I'll think about this some other time. I'll look into this later when I'm not working." They had a sense of passion about it. And then they had the experience, you know, something amazing happened to them. After they went to the place and they saw what the angels had told them they would see, they began to speak about it. Because that's what we do. That's what human beings do when we experience something amazing. It comes out of our mouths. We talk about it. Other people were there. As they began to hear what the story the shepherds were telling them, it says that they wondered about it. They were curious. It got people's attention, but that's not necessarily a response of faith, just to be curious. But then the text says that Mary treasured everything. She thought deeply about it. You know, I think it's interesting that the person in this incident who understood more about what was happening there than anyone, I mean, she had more insight into who Jesus is, she and Joseph, because of their earlier angelic visits. And yet she ponders it. She thinks about it deeply. She's looking into it more. And then the response of the shepherds says that they, when they left, they were different. They worshiped. They praised God. They were excited. They were full of joy. You know, the sense of wonder and amazement, we're in danger of losing our ability to do that. You know, the reason someone goes to Disney World or takes a child to Disney World is because they're looking for this sense of wonder. When we go to see a movie like Star Wars in perhaps a huge theater with amazing sound, what we're longing for, what we're hoping for is this sense of wonder, this sense of longing. One of the reasons that we're fascinated with Christmas, and lots of people are, and especially when they're small children in the house, because they're just kind of dazzled. Children are dazzled by the whole experience, and we just love to see that look in their eyes. We want this sense of wonder. So how we know if you and I are getting Christmas, or maybe we got it at one point, but we've forgotten, is that there's not much of a response like this going on anymore. There's not a taking it seriously that needs to be there. There's not a passion to look into it more, as if we've somehow exhausted everything there is to see. Or that there's that it ever comes out of our mouth, that we would talk about it, or that we ponder, that we treasure, and that we leave transformed, changed, different, because we've actually heard the good news that there is a Savior, that sense of guilt that I might try to ignore, that I might try not to think about, that I keep music and noise and movies going on all around me all the time so I don't have to think about it, that sense in there can actually get addressed, so that if the greatest problem I have of being separated from God is addressed, that I know that God came for me, that message is for me, that addresses the core fear in my being, and I really don't have to be afraid of anything else ever. You know, this is probably only the second year in about 40, as I'm calculating, that I didn't sing in some sort of event like what we just saw. And, you know, there's in every one of these things, there's always, and there was this morning, there's always a song or a group of songs about this song that's sung in this text of Scripture. And so, you know, and probably you go to any Christmas production of any sort in a church, in some other secular venue, if they're paying any attention to the biblical part of it at all, I mean, everybody sings some sort of song about glory to God in the highest. There's always a song about that. And so lots and lots of people sing that. But not quite so many actually sing it with the sense of fear and an awe of God, but of hearing the good news in such a way that they see that it's for them. I wonder if you struggle to believe that something amazing could really happen to you. Or maybe you've given up on the idea that somehow the good news that so amazed the shepherds and that provokes these productions and churches and organizations to sing about this, that maybe that it's, have you given up on believing that there's something real in that, that's a real event? God came. I mean, the Christmas story is so important for us to get this. That the whole core of why Jesus came, that Jesus came in the flesh, the Christmas story, for us to see that is so important. The Apostle John in 1 John 4 said, the way that you can tell if somebody is really preaching the truth is, do they talk about this, that Jesus came in the flesh for this to address your fear and my fear. We got to know that it's real. It's actual history. And we've got to allow that good news to see that is good news that addresses the core fear that we struggle with as human beings. And that we plead with God that He would open our eyes so that we would actually get Christmas. and that we would run to God with a sense of passion, that he would reveal it to us, and that we would allow God to kick out our imagination. This, as this church and other churches increasingly see this and are stunned by this and are amazed by this, and it's the thing that shapes us and creates in us gratitude and creates in us humility that will make us more attractive to one another, spiritually speaking, and reflect the good news for what it is, the great news, the best news that anyone has ever heard, so that our fellowship and other churches in the world, as they do this, will be attractive to those who are lost and hurting and scared. Would you pray with me? That question, do you get Christmas? I wonder if you would plead with God this morning. Really, every one of us in the room need to do that, whether we've known Jesus for many, many years or know that we don't know him. Would you pray right there at your seat and say, God, would you open my eyes that I could so get what Christmas is and is about, that it addresses my fear. My fear, my guilt of knowing that I'm not right with you. And I wonder if you've never entered into that in the first place. You've never admitted to yourself, never admitted to God, that the guilt that you feel is real and that it is because you've sinned and you're separated from God. And maybe through the music and through the drama this morning and through God's word read, God has created faith in your heart this very morning to cry out to God and say, oh God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin. I believe that he lived the life I should have lived, and that he died the death I deserved to die. And I am trusting in what Jesus did there in coming to the earth and then dying on the cross for my sin. Would you run to Jesus in that way this morning? Father, I pray that you would heal our deafness to the good news that Jesus came. And we pray that you would accomplish that in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and Wes is going to play and sing. And if you want to make a public profession of faith in Jesus, you can do that this morning. If you know that God is leading you to join this church body, we'd love to begin a conversation with you about that. Maybe you'd just like to come to the altar and pray. As we sing, we ask you to come. You respond as God leads. Wes? Betty. Bless you.
Thanks.
Let me pray with you. Father, thank you so much for Betty and for you leading her to this place, to place her life and ministry in her heart with this church body. We're so grateful for her, and I know that she's going to be an encouragement to us, and I pray that we will be to her, and that together as a church that we'll be able to faithfully follow you and honor you and share the message of the gospel around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you'll let me introduce you to the folks, won't you?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.